Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Turn to somebody beside you. You got somebody beside you? Turn to them and said, "My God is great." Now turn the other way and say, "So are you. So are you." Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to have everybody today. And I just want to give you just a little bit of report on myself. I am doing better. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I still have some lightheadedness from time to time, but today I'm doing quite well. So we're looking forward to doing whatever God in the future wants us to do from this day forward. And that's what we're looking at. Well, I've got a surprise for you today. Are you ready? Well, I want you to open your Bibles and get ready for the Word of God. There's a young man coming up to deliver the word today, and he's excited about it. And I've watched Eric grow and watched him come into the church and watched him mature. And he's one of those that we talked about the other week about loving righteousness and hating evil. And that love righteousness is when you love the conformity to Christ likeness. And that describes this young man. So please welcome with me, Brother Eric Moore.
Got to make sure I'm on here. Am I good now? Can y'all hear me? There we go. There we go. Praise God. All right. Let me get set up here. I am a little nervous, if you can't tell, just a little bit. I'll tell you, you know, I've got to do Sunday school some. I've got to do Wednesday night service some. But I feel like God has been calling me to be able to share with the whole body for a while. And I know, you know, there's God's timing is perfect, and he wants to work some character defects out of us before he allows us to be able to, you know, really, really get out there and grow. So he's still working on me. I'm a work in progress, but I thank God that he is working on me. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that you are holy. God, we thank you that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. God, we thank you that when you decided to bring this world into existence, that you spoke it into existence, God. When you decided to make the stars and the sun and the moons, God, you spoke them into existence. But when you decided to bring us into existence, God, you formed us with your very hand, God, and breathed your breath of life inside of us, God, and you put your spirit within us, God. And so we thank you, God, for that, Lord, that you want to have this intimacy with us, God. And I pray that right now, in the name of Jesus, that we all would enter into that intimacy that you have for us, God, and that we would grow closer to you, God, and lean on your bosom like John did. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. So today, the message I want to bring to you is a message of grace. It is one of my very favorite topics and words in the Bible. And so my wife named our daughter Emmeline. It was actually a name that was given to her in a dream by God. So I couldn't argue with God about the first name of my child. But I was able to come up with a second name, and that's why her name is Emmeline Grace Moore, because grace is one of the most powerful aspects of the Christian life. And we need to be fully aware of what it truly means. And, you know, a lot of times there's a couple of different camps when it comes to the word grace. There's some who look at grace almost like it's a cuss word if you say it. You know, like you're saying something wrong if you say grace because you're just a greasy gracer, you know. And then, you know, so that's people who don't understand the grace of God, the true grace of God. They say that it's a license to sin, and actually it's the power to overcome sin. So God gives us his grace, and grace is actually the enablement to do whatever he asks of us or go through whatever he wills for us to go through. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, it says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Full of grace because it was God through the person of the Holy Spirit in Christ, giving him the power and the strength to do the signs that he did. And also it was God in him giving him the strength to carry out the will of the Father by going to the cross and on Calvary and suffering so that we may be reconciled to God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:18. We're going to go verses 18, 19, and 20. This is in the Amplified Classic. Did I bring my glasses? I meant to wear my glasses. Totally forgot. I think my wife got them. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. Give me one second, y'all. Thank you very much. That's okay. Thank God for a beautiful helpmate. And thank God for having children to put fingerprints all over my glasses. All right. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. One second right there, it says, in word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. So it's not just enough to talk about the things of God, but it's to do the deeds of God. And when people see that reflection of Christ's character, that brings people to know Jesus. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. Can I get a hallelujah? God canceled our debt that we had against him. Look, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but Jesus took that payment upon the cross, and he gave us his, he restored us back to a place of favor with God, committing to us, this is us who have been born again, the message of reconciliation and of restoration to favor. So we see that God in verse 19 was personally present in Christ, reconciling the world back to a place of favor with himself. And how is this possible? It was through the Holy Spirit who was in him and was enabling him to do the things that God called him to do. And that's exactly what grace is. Grace is actually referred to in Hebrews as the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace that enables us to do the things that God has called us to do. And so in this passage, it was all about Jesus, but he didn't leave us out because he says, now I've called you an ambassador for Christ. And what's an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who represents somebody from this nation to another nation. So we belong to the kingdom of God, and we represent Christ to a world that is not our own. The Bible says that we're pilgrims. We're just passing through this place. This is not our home, but we have our eyes fixed on a heavenly destination. And we're to represent Christ to a world that so desperately needs a Savior, and they may not even be aware of just how bad they need a Savior. So he enables us through the power of the Holy Spirit to beg people on his behalf to be reconciled to a place of favor with God. And it takes grace in order to do that. Let's look at Colossians 4:6. I'm a scripture guy, so we're going to be looking at a lot of Bible verses here, a lot of scripture. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." God is going to put a lot of different people in front of our paths who need to receive the gospel in a different way. Check this out. It's the same gospel, but it's a different delivery, right? And he's what does salt do to food when you put it on there? It enhances the flavor. Have you ever tried to eat a potato without putting salt on it, just tasted just the raw potato? There ain't much there, is there? But you add some salt onto that thing. You add some pepper, some butter, some cheese. Now you're talking. You know what I mean? That thing gets good. Now I can ingest that thing a little bit. You know what I mean? So when you're plugged into the power source of heaven who has all wisdom and all knowledge and knows what it's going to take to reach that person, then God's grace enables you to be able to reach them on their level. This is what Paul says about it in 1 Corinthians 9:20, verses 21 and 22. He says, "To the Jews I became as a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law." Next one, please. "To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak." Check this out, very important here. "I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some." By all means, save some. Same gospel, different deliveries. That's what Paul was doing here. Meeting people on their level requires God's grace. One of the definitions that the Strong's Concordance gives for the word grace is God's influence upon the heart. And when we were separated from God, meaning before we were born again, or before we knew Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were enemies with God, and we were earthly and natural-minded. The Bible says that we weren't even able to understand the things of God. So had it not been for God's influence upon our heart, we wouldn't even be able to receive the grace, the faith that it takes to be saved. But listen, you got to realize when it says in Ephesians 2, it says you're saved by grace through faith, that the faith that you receive is a gift that was given through you through the operation of grace, through the Spirit of grace. Your spirit man was dead, and then the Spirit of grace came and made it alive so that you could understand the things of God and receive the things of God. That's what makes it such a wonderful gift when it says this is a gift of God. Lest any man should boast, remember God graciously give you this gift of salvation. He graciously give you the ability to be able to see your need for him. That's why it says in Matthew 5, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What that means is the one who recognizes their need for him is blessed. How so? Because without him gifting you that grace, you would still be lost in your sins, blind to your need of him. That's why Jesus said that no one comes to him unless the Father first draws him in. I can look back on my life and there are several instances where I can see now where God was drawing me to him. I couldn't see it then or recognize it at all, but now I can. And for example, one day as I was a teenager, my late teens, my uncle Stevie, if you will, would you just stand up for a second, please? This is my uncle Stevie right here, everybody. Thank God for him. Thank you very much. But my Uncle Stevie had stopped by to visit my mom, and they talked for a little while. He'd come outside. I must have been smoking a cigarette or something. And as he was walking by, he was like, it's just a beautiful summer, spring day, you know. Sky's blue. The flowers are blooming and everything. And he said, "You know, Eric, son," He said, I don't see how anybody could look around at all this and not believe that God is real. And I said, I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't believe God is real. I was an atheist. But then another part of me was like, but it is kind of crazy to believe that all of this come from nothing. So there was a seed planted, right? And I don't even know if he was intentionally doing that, but God knows. And that's just one small example. And for the sake of time, I won't go into all of them. But there's many times where I can see where God was using different people to speak into my life to draw me to him because he cared so much for me. Even though I was living contrary to the ways that he had for me to live in, and I used to blaspheme his name. I made fun of Christians, you know. Like Paul said, I was the chief of sinners, but yet somehow he was still trying to reach out to me. I was the one that when he left the 99 to go out and find, he came and found me. You know what I'm saying? So before I was saved, I couldn't even see the beauty in the things around me like my Uncle Stevie was talking about. Look at these flowers, look at the blue sky and all that. But now I can just be driving down the road and the sun could be setting. I could see the mountains off in the distance, green leaves on trees, purple flowers, blue flowers, whatever it is, just this color and this awesomeness that this marvelous creator created for us to paint this beautiful picture. And I just say, thank you, God. I got to say thank you, God, because one of the things that grace does is it gives us a heart of gratitude and a heart of thankfulness, and it come from God himself, so why not direct it back to him, the one who put it inside of us? When we look at the word grace in the Greek, it's the word kairos. And kairos, in its full definition, means God's divine influence upon the heart, and the reflection in the life of the believer in the form of gratitude and thankfulness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 10. Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." See, the grace of God changes us from who we used to be and makes us to who he wants us to be. Even the very worst of us, there's nobody that's beyond God's reach or his love or his saving grace. Nobody beyond that. I talk to people sometimes and they say, well, my son or my daughter or my brother or my dad or whoever is, you know, this or that, and they're never going to change. And I say, don't say never. Don't say never. Because I thought I would never change. In fact, I used to tell people that I would never change. The sins that I was living in, I'll say, I'm always do that. There ain't no way I'm ever going to change. There ain't no way I'm ever going to get married. There ain't no way I'm ever going to have kids. There ain't no way. Look, God will have you never in like you never before. So, yes, he will. And then have you enjoying them same things that you said, I never, I never, I never. Thank you, Lord. Yes, he does. I'm so glad that his plans is what prevailed instead of my plans. So it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the next part of that verse, it says, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. So the grace of God also enables us to see that it's only by his power and strength that we can serve him. See, Paul, he went further. He went to more missionary places than Jesus did. He taught more than all the other apostles and disciples. He was beaten, stoned, even till they stoned him and thought he was dead and left for dead. So many things that Paul wasn't able to do because of the grace of God that was in him that enabled him to be able to do that. And that same grace is available for all of us. Look at Ephesians 2:8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would then walk in them. First thing is, that word workmanship, when you look at it in the Greek, it actually means his masterpiece. Come on now. If you ever struggle with your identity or what other people think of you or anything like that or any kind of self-confidence issues, you need to go to the Word of God and look and see what he says about you, because he says we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. Before we were born, he formed us in our mother's wombs, and he already predestined us to have a purpose for glory, to represent his glory here on this earth and to advance the kingdom of God. That's a pretty serious role. He calls us ministers and priests unto God in the book of Revelation. We are ministers and priests unto God. So here in Ephesians 2, Paul is laying a foundation for good, sound doctrine. It's that you are saved by grace through faith. Then he tells us that we did nothing to earn it or deserve it, so stay humble about it. Why? Why does he want us to be humble about it? Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. Can you imagine if you was on the football field, you got the lineman over here, you're the lineman over there, and on the other team is God? That's what happens when you're proud. You don't want to go up against God. He's winning every time. Every time. Listen, then it says that he tells us that we will do good works. Look, it's not that you have to do good works to become saved. A lot of people have that backwards. They think, I got to clean myself up before I come to Jesus. I've heard people tell me, man, I just got to get this right and then I'll start coming to church. You know, if we look at it that way, we're already looking at it the wrong way. You don't do good works to be saved, but because you are saved and because the Spirit of grace lives inside of you, then you will act out of what you are and you will do the good deeds that he has called you to do. And look, it says, which God prepared beforehand so that we should then walk in them. God has created the good works, whatever it is that he's called you to do for his name and for his sake. He created it, and then you just get to walk in it. How natural is it for us to walk? It's pretty easy because he's already made the path. Look, an apple tree produces apples, not to become an apple tree, but because it already is an apple tree, even before it ever bears any fruit, even when you don't see the apple on it, it's still an apple tree. Why? Because it was born after the seed of its own kind. And we are born again after the seed of God. Look at Luke 6:27 through 35. So another thing that grace does is it enables us to love our enemies. Verse 27 says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? So pay attention to this verse here. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons. That word sons is weos, which means mature ones of God. And that means, listen, over in Romans it says, all of creation is longing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed in this earth. That sons of God there is weos, and they're waiting and longing to see the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting to see us act like sons and daughters of the Most High King, so that we can reveal Christ to them and they can be drawn to him. Because once they see the light, you've got two options. You can either run from it and hide, or you can run to it and hide in him. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. It can be hard when you're doing things for people, trying to show them the love of Christ, and you feel like they just take it for granted and they don't appreciate what you do. But listen, that's what he says that Jesus does. That's what God does for us. It says that he makes it rain on the just and the unjust. And a lot of people read that verse and they think rain is a bad thing. No, rain is a good thing because it makes things grow. We need the rain of God. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. So this is the cool part about this. When I said pay attention in verses 32, let's go back to 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? So that word credit, can you guess what it is in the Greek? It's kairos, the same word for grace. So what he's really saying is, if you love those who love you, what grace is that for you? How do you need God's grace to love those who love you back? How is it that you need God's grace to pray for those who spitefully use you? How is it that you need God's grace to lend to people if you're expecting to gain some interest back on the other side of it? The answer is you don't need any grace to do that because those things are natural. He says that even the natural person can do those things. But we don't need God's grace to do the natural things. We need God's grace to empower us to do the supernatural things. That's the power of Christ right there, to do the supernatural things. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God for that. So it's only by his divine influence that he enables us to love our enemies, do good to those that hate us, and pray for those that mistreat us and spitefully use us. Jesus only did what he's seen the Father doing. And God the Father himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. People that he knew would never accept him, would fully reject him, but yet he was willing to go to the cross and die for them anyways. That's the type of love that I can't even fully comprehend. But it overwhelms me and it breaks me down. That's why sometimes you might look around here, we might be praising God, have the worship songs going, my hands is up and my tears just flowing down my face. I can't help it because I can't comprehend how God could take somebody as filthy and wretched as I was and bring me up out of the darkness and the miry clay that I was in and put my feet upon the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, and give me a life transformed that I can now live and tell other people about Jesus Christ, this same one who I used to blaspheme and say that he didn't even exist, and now I can tell you that he's real, and not because I've heard about him, but because I know about him, I've experienced him. You can't tell me he ain't real. And look, one day if they roll out the chopping block and say you denounce your faith or die, look, go ahead and take it off. I enjoyed it while I had it, but I can't deny that he's real. I've experienced too much. I'm telling you. I've experienced too much to not believe. So the cross is the ultimate display of God's grace. The sinless, perfect Son of God, after being beaten and spit upon, betrayed by his own people. This is his chosen people, the Jewish people, his own chosen people. Are the ones who called for him. When they offered up, they said, who do you want us to free for you? Do you want Jesus or do you want Barabbas? Do you want the Son of God or do you want a murderer? And they said, "Free Barabbas, away with this man, crucify him, crucify him." Could you imagine? This is the ones that he loved so dearly and that he created, and that's what they're hollering about him. But yet he still loved them anyways. Unfathomable. They publicly humiliated him, stripped him down naked and beat him. Then made him, as he was tortured, they put the crown of thorns on him and made him carry his own cross up to Golgotha. He's bleeding. He's naked. Imagine the shame. The king of the world. Listen, the Bible says that all things were created through him, by him, and for him. And so listen, the cross, they cut it down out of a tree. How was that tree made? Because all things were made by him. He made the tree. The people that put him there, that called for him to be hung on that tree, he created them. All things were created by him, for him, and through him. And can you imagine? He's the king. And he's walking in shame because he knows that that's what the Father had willed for him to do, because he can look out here and he can see all of you. And he can see me and he can see millions and millions and countless of others that would come to know him and to follow him and would be with him for eternity, for all of eternity. He did it for us. He could have annihilated, he could have called down a legion of angels at any time and annihilated all of his naysayers. Boom, right then, wiped all of us out. And he would have been justified in doing so. Even me in my past sins, in my past life, he could have wiped me out and he would have been justified in doing so. I didn't do anything to earn this. None of us do. So when he hung on that cross, he looked at the ones who were torturing and tormenting him. And with such great love and compassion, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." That takes the empowerment of God. Because the natural response would be to hurl the insults back, call the legion of angels down and straighten out his accusers. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That would be the just thing, but it wouldn't be grace. Now watch how God's grace works. Let's look at Mark 15, 37 through 39. So the Roman soldiers performing the crucifixion, after they watch Jesus say this and give up his spirit so gracefully, and the sky turned black and the earth shake, even those Roman soldiers became believers. I don't think anything in the Bible is wasted. So if we're reading a scripture in the Bible, it's important. There's a reason that it's there. And a lot of times this just gets overlooked as we're reading the gospel stories. We look over these guys believing that he was the Son of God while crucifying him. Mark 15, 37 through 39 says this. And Jesus uttered with a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That was signifying, by the way, a way in that God had made the way in. Because the veil wasn't torn from the bottom up. It was torn from the top down. God did this. This is a thing that God did for us. When the centurion, this is a leader of other Roman soldiers, the centurion. He had other people who were under him, who was standing right in front of Jesus, saw the way he breathed his last. He said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Matthew 27:54. So in Matthew's account of the gospel, he records that there were others with the centurion who also came to believe. Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said this, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now I don't know their hearts, but they seen what happened. They seen the crucifixion. They seen people coming up out of the grave. It said that when Jesus was crucified, dead saints come back to life. We skim over that part real quick. People come up out of the graves and walk the earth in those days when Jesus was crucified. There was a lot of signs and miracles that took place right then. They seen what happened, and they believed with their heart and confessed with the mouth that Jesus was truly the Son of God. That sure sounds like salvation to me. At least according to Romans 10:9, for if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you shall be saved. You shall be saved. And check this out. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. This is why I love to study the Word of God right here. I love to read it. And then I like to go back after I've read it, and I picked up on some things. I was like, there was something interesting there. I didn't quite put my hand on it. I'm going to go back and dig into that a little bit. This part right here is one reason why I love to dig into the Scripture. Something very simple, but very profound. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing, the earlier manuscripts leave out the word doing, which means that they added in later. This wasn't a bad thing. They just added it in because they felt like it would add more clarity. So it's an innocent thing. But what Jesus really said is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are. Come on now. God sees the end from the beginning, and he knows the ones who will believe in him. So he said, they know not what they are. They may be crucifying me, but that's not who they are. They are your children, my brothers, my sisters. They are believers. They are loved by you. Listen, he could have looked at me and he could have said, Father, forgive him, for he don't know who he is. He's not a drug addict. He's not a criminal. He's not a, you know, you fill in the blank, whatever your sin was. Porn addict, alcoholic, gambler, whatever it is, you fill in the blank for your sin. And God says, that ain't who they are. Because he sees past that. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when God looks down on us, he sees Jesus on us. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are. Now look at the grace of God. The ones who were guarding him as he was dying on the cross became believers, which means what? They'll be in heaven one day. They'll be in heaven now with him because of the one that they crucified. They'll be with him because of him, and they're the ones who crucified him. Just like the thief on the cross next to him. What did he say? He said, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And what did he tell him? I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Think about Paul when he was still Saul, and he was standing there at the feet of the men who was stoning Stephen to death, and he was holding their jackets. It says he was in hearty agreement with them. Stone him. Get him out of here. He's talking about Jesus. He's got to go. What did Stephen say? Said he looked up into the heavens, and I seen the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. And because his eyes was fixed on Jesus, that's why it says keep your eyes fixed on things above and not on things below, but keep your eyes fixed on the things above. He saw Jesus, and he was able to endure them stoning them, and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are. Paul doesn't know what he is. He don't know what he is yet, but it's going to be revealed to him. Jesus kicked him off his horse and blinded him. Come on, that's what happened. He was on his way to go murder Christians, blaspheming the name of Jesus. He was proud and haughty, and God said, boop, let me put a foot in that chest. Kicked him off his horse and blinded him for 3 days. He went and told Ananias, he said, go lay hands on him. But Lord, haven't you heard about all the things that this man has done? Don't you know who this is? He's putting people in prison. He's stoning people. He's killing people for talking about Jesus. He said, I will show you how much this man has to suffer for my name's sake, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. He didn't know what he was, but God knew what he was. And that's each and every single one of us. We may be doing things that are contrary to the ways of God. Even if you still ain't born again yet and you don't believe in God and you're sitting in here and you're listening to this message, you don't realize who you are. That's what the problem is. And once you realize who you are in him, then you can live out the life that he had purpose for you to live in. You can live out the destiny that he has called you to live in, to walk in, him and to glorify him, to bring glory to his name here on this earth, to advance the kingdom of heaven. So some people may hear that and say, these Roman soldiers that was crucifying Jesus are going to be in heaven with him. There's no way. Well, think about this. It may have been at the hands of the Roman soldiers that he went onto that cross. But it was my sins and it was your sins that put him there. It was our sins that put him there. And if he can forgive us for our sins and make a way for us to be in the heaven, he can do it for anybody. Without our sin, there would have been no reason for Jesus to need to be sacrificed the way that he was. That's why Paul can say, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Even at the cross and the crucifixion, grace was abounding more than the sins of the soldiers who put him there and more than the sins of all the sinners of the world which kept him there. See, in Hebrews, it says that the joy set before him, he was able to endure the cross. And like I said earlier, that joy was seeing all of us saved and forgiven, restored back to a place of favor with God, and empowered by grace to be his kingdom representatives here on this earth. He wants us to represent his kingdom on this earth, and we're going to need his grace to enable us to do that, divinely enable us. He said he will open up the windows of heaven. And he's going to pour out his spirit upon us. And that's what's going to give us the power to go out here and do the things that he's called us to do. Signs and wonders shall follow those who believe in his name. You're going to walk around just living your life and something's going to happen. Boom. And you're going to get to experience God's grace. You get to lay hands on somebody and somebody get healed. That's God's grace in action right there. We're going to encounter many people that don't know Jesus in this life, and different people need to hear God's word in a different way. It's the same gospel, but a different delivery. And we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to know how we ought to speak to each people. God is such a good God. Jesus is such a great Savior, and I love him, and I'm so thankful for him and all that he's done for me and for so many people in this room right now. Just one thing real quick, I just want to say thank you to everybody who came, people that I wasn't even expecting to see. It was awesome to see you here, and God has really been good to me. And if you ever want to know what true grace looks like, just look at the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says he was full of grace and truth. Get back in the Gospels. It's the basic stuff, but it's Jesus. And that's where grace is, and we need to learn how to live and walk in that grace. Thank you very much.
We want to continue to celebrate God's grace because, as Brother Eric was just saying here, you and I can't do anything without the grace of God on our lives. Amen? We're here this morning because the grace of God woke us up. We drove here this morning because the grace of God protected us. Amen? So we have some graduates we want to celebrate because they were able to accomplish something because of the grace of God on their lives. Amen? So help me celebrate God's grace as we call them up and wish them the best here. And by the way, I'm doing this for Pastor Austin. Pray for Pastor Austin. He's out sick this morning, And no one's praying for Pastor Austin more than my wife back there, because VBS setup is this week. Lord, heal him now. Yeah. This Alexis Nanny, RS Central Softball Scholarship to Mars Hill. Give Alexis a big round of applause. Come on up. She's coming. Got something for you just to say. She's going to be going to Mars Hill and studying business administration. So she's at work. Amen. Thank God for employment. That's the grace of God. Amen. All right. Alyssa Nanny, RS Central, ICC Cosmetology. Gary Blankenship, Thomas Jefferson Classical Academy, attending Hampton Sydney College, Political Science and International Business is what he studied. Awesome. Josh Collins, homeschool and going into construction work. Awesome. Awesome. Israel Rain Wilson, he's homeschooled at Heritage Academy and will be going into trade school soon. So. This boy's had the grace of God on his life. He's had to overcome what his father has taught him. Jesslyn Rippey, RS Central, ICC, going to ICC for welding technology. Wow. Wow. Jeremiah Wilson is graduating Chase High School and going to ICC. Jeremiah. Come on in. Sarah Bibler is graduating with an SNHU Bachelor's in Human Services. Church family, let's just celebrate the grace of God on all these folks' life. Amen. Celebrate them this morning. Congratulations. Congratulations. God's grace is on us this morning. All right, real quick. Graduating kindergarten, going to first grade. All right. All right, my man. Good job. Absolutely. Well, how many's glad they came to the house of the Lord this morning? It ain't been great. It's just been so good. Real quick, just a few things we want you to know about. VBS has got some things going on, of course. Volunteer meeting is today at 2:30 at FLC. Setup starts tomorrow for those who are working in VBS at 10 a.m. And for everybody in here, if you have any students, children, people you know, neighbors, friends, family, foes, get them all to the website, fathersvineyard.org, and register for VBS, because it starts next Sunday at 6 p.m. Amen? Also, a few people we need to be praying for. Trilby Turner Holcomb's family. Trilby graduated to be with the Lord. A lot of you guys in here know Trilby. And her memorial service will start June 7th here at the church at 11 a.m. So make sure you're there. Also, keep Tammy Smith's family in prayer as well, okay? So want to say this. Got a ton of stuff going on at church right now, ton of stuff. And how many likes to be left out? I don't. Does anybody like to be left out? If you want to know what's going on, go to fathersvineyard.org, click on the ministry, click on the events button. We got so many things going on, we could spend 2 hours just talking about what God is doing in the house and he's doing a lot. So go over there. If you are an usher or if you are on the security team, Darren sent you a text. Make sure you pay attention to that. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer and have him just bless this service. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be in your presence this morning. We thank you for the grace of God on our lives. We thank you for every visitor that came with us this morning. We hope that you give them a special touch. We thank you for the people online. And Lord, we just ask you right now that what we heard from your word this morning from Brother Eric won't just be words, but will be action steps that we embrace and walk out your grace throughout the week. And we'll be a vessel of your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. Visitors, make sure you come to the back door and meet with us. We'd love to meet up with you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.